Today's scripture reading is Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Well, I forget that sometimes these things are emotional things, especially when we get these mamas up here who all have their girls graduating, and so thankful for them doing that today. I also always like to announce it when we have celebrity guests for these types of events, and so we're very thankful to have Cindy Page here with us today. So, yeah, appreciate you being here on this special day, making the long trip, always being supportive of these kids, even years after. So really appreciate that. So make sure to say something to Cindy today. This is the first Sunday for some of our students as high school graduates. They're graduates today. It's an exciting time. It is a time of transition for them. I know most of our students are heading off in kind of different directions after the summer, and may some leave in early this summer, next month. In the world we live in today, I've been thinking about the environments that we create and inhabit, those environments, right? And when I'm talking about environments, I'm referring to the culture that is created as a result of the behaviors and the actions of the people within them, right? So kind of culture, but I'm talking about it as environment. Every church is its own little environment, right? Like we are an environment here. All of us spend some time in this environment. We come to church, we come to Sunday school class, we attend different ministries, groups, meetings. You meet outside of these contexts, but you are still the church when you meet friends for different social events or things. You and I, we are the environment that is First United Methodist Church. When people leave here, and like, you know, our young people, they go to college, or people leave and go to new communities, or sometimes people go to another church, they're looking for a smaller environment that they can belong to, that they can be a part of. A challenge that I want to offer our students heading off to new places is to look for healthy environments that you can be a part of. Right? Look for those healthy places. Now, I don't know that I was thinking about this when I went to college, to be honest. I don't know this is my thought. I think it was more important to me that I belong to something, just belong to anything, than to belong to something healthy, right? There are all types of fraternities and sororities out there, right? Greek organizations, for those of you that have belonged to a Greek organization before. I joined one where we told our parents, maybe you belong to this type of one too, right? We told our parents that it was an academic fraternity, right? Like, this is for people that want to have good grades. It was actually a fraternity for people that like good parties, right? Sometimes four nights a week parties. Like way too many, about four times too many a week. there were guys among us who, I got to give them credit, they balanced out partying while prioritizing things like attending class and getting good grades. And then there were those of us that didn't. We didn't know how to prioritize. As one who didn't balance wisely, I had to figure it out after the second semester or find another school to start over in. That is, if my school was serious about the academic probation letter that I was sent in my second semester. I really wish I would have kept that letter so that when my daughter was heading off to school, I could have showed her the letter and been like, this is what can go wrong. But I think I'm pretty sure I burnt that letter. I'm pretty sure I burnt it, and so I have no record of it. But by my sophomore year, and when I say sophomore year, I don't mean by credit hours. I just mean purely by the fact that it was my second year of school. And so people called me a sophomore. I realized that my environment was part of the problem. The environment that I was keeping was part of the problem. Now, as I drastically reduced my party life, notched it way down, I began to seek out healthier environment of people to be around more often, to be around a different kind of people. I decided to be a young life leader at an area high school, and so I was involved in young life. There were actually a lot of college students who helped in St. Joseph, where I went to school, that helped in young life, Missouri Western State College, University now. So we began to hang out a lot with that crew of people. Even all the roommates that I had were young life folks. Even after I was out of college, I was still rooming in my 20s with these young life leaders. And I spent less time with my fraternity brothers. And this was a healthier decision for me. Healthy for my spiritual life, my connection with God, my relationships, schooling priorities, choosing better priorities. I should also mention that it was through those young life connections that I met my wife, right? So, thank God I decided to seek out a healthier environment to grow in, to be a part of, where I met her. Now, I used to be the type of person to learn things the hard way. I say I used to be. I might still have this issue. So our young people, you all can kind of take my advice on this or not. Who am I to stagnate your learning process if you, like me, kind of learn things the hard way? But today is not just a day to celebrate our graduates, but we are celebrating our graduates. This also happens to be Pentecost Sunday. Thus, isn't this awesome? My flaming pulpit, right? On Pentecost, we remember that the Holy Spirit came down on the followers of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. The people gathered there were from all over the region. They spoke many different languages, not just the same language. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to understand one another that they may glorify God, which is what they were all doing, was glorifying God because of this great miracle. That miraculous act was the beginning of Christ's church, thus Marsha's happy birthday church, right? Like that was the beginning of it all. The first gathering of Christian people was an environment of love, mutual support, sacrificialness. It was a part of who they were, right? And so the first Christian environment in turn spawned many that were very similar that spread throughout the region of the Middle East and into Greece and kind of on and on and on. And so the Apostle Paul, he would write letters to many of these new environments or communities in order to guide them, right? And this is why we have the letter to the Philippians of the New Testament. Part of it was read to us at the beginning. Paul's attempting to encourage and shape this environment of people in their behaviors and their actions towards one another, towards their community. He said to them, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, be full of the Spirit. And then he goes on, he says, rejoice and be thankful and do not be anxious. Be prayerful. Know the peace of Christ. Focus, right? Focus on and think about what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent or praiseworthy. And as it would turn out, this advice helped build up environments that people wanted to be a part of. People wanted to be a part of the church in that day because of those very things, right? It would be the beginning of Christianization across the globe that would happen in that single movement, in that single place. And so many churches became environments that had the potential for great good within the communities that enjoyed them. These types of Christian environments, it came over to the United States, and the church began to spread in the United States, and much because of the Methodist movement. It wasn't United Methodist, it was just the Methodist movement across the United States. These types of Christian environments in the U.S. led to the development of schools and universities and hospitals and care facilities and businesses. Healthy environments are full of great potential, which is why all of us may want to belong to them and nurture them and possibly begin them. But there are those things in life that tend to distract us from what is actually healthy for us and for our communities. They can be distractions. There are things that come off as something that might be more enjoyable or better, but in fact are not. They are things that we desire that are initially beneficial but tend to have a cost that greatly surpasses the enjoyment that we initially receive from them. There are also environments where these values are lifted up and celebrated. You may be drawn to them because of their allure and seemingly having answers to challenges that you feel like you face. And I guess this is like the fraternity lesson that I shared, right? You can learn from me. You can figure it out on your own. It's kind of your call. But that was the lesson that I learned. So can we, as a group here, can we name some of the things in life that seem to have greater allure to us and our society than being a part of a healthy environment, right? What are the things that today people seem desperate to attain, as if those things have the answers to the questions that we're going after? What are the things that you can think of that people seem to desire to attain today? You can say them. Huh? A nice home, money, sports and entertainment, being part of the United Methodist Church family is a good thing. I'm listing bad things right now. We'll come to that. Thank you, though, right? Hopefully it's a good thing. Anybody else? Yeah, I mean, those are all things. Wealth, success, popularity, lots of friends, lots of likes if you're a social media person, the easy job, the perfect job, the attractive partner, right, is the answer. The right school is the answer. And I'm not saying that these things are bad. None of these things are bad. I'm not saying that these things shouldn't happen to you, that you might attain these things. I'm saying beware of environments that compulsively lift up those things as if you're nobody without them. You're nobody if you haven't attained them. Instead, desire healthy environments as opposed to unhealthy ones. Now, there's a word that's pretty popular these days that we've probably heard a lot when we think about something that's unhealthy, that's often used to explain something that's unhealthy. And the word is toxic. A toxic place. Toxic environments, toxic people, toxic workplaces, toxic churches. Could be something somebody talked about. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the word toxic, because when I think of toxic, I think of nuclear waste, right? I mean, that's what I tend to think of when I think toxic. And nuclear waste is nuclear waste. Like, there's no way to make it less toxic than it is. It's very toxic to its very nature. I don't think most people are permanently toxic, or at least they don't have to be permanently toxic. As it relates to people and our behaviors, I think the opposite of healthy, if I'm going to name an opposite, I think the opposite of healthy is fearful. It's fearful, right? People are afraid, and so they promote environments of fear around them, right? That's what begins to happen. We just spent the whole month of April talking about the wounds we receive that cause fear in our lives, right? That's what we just talked about. We're afraid that we won't have enough. We're afraid that we won't be loved, and we're afraid that we might lose control. Someone might gain control over us, right? And so this is why in our scripture reading, the Apostle Paul told the Philippians, he said, do not be afraid, but instead pray about everything and experience the peace of Christ, right? In order to find environments that produce healthy results, beware of environments that thrive off of fear. Fear-based environments. And actually, I want to be more specific than that. I want to tell you about three warning signs that might tip you off that you are in an environment that is fearful or fear-based. And it could be your school or classes or organization or a friend group or a job or a church, whatever it is. Three kind of tips here. For our students and for everybody. The very first one I want to name is this. Beware of over-controlling leadership versus boundary-setting leadership. In your jobs, organizations, churches, beware of leaders who want to remove all of what we would call your agency as a person. All of your agency or your ability to make decisions and to think and to do some of those things. If they could get a robot to replace you, they would actually prefer the robot, right? Like they're that type of boss. Instead, look for leaders who provide helpful boundaries and then look for ways to develop your creativity, abilities, focus, right? They kind of give you opportunities to grow into some things. Leaders who are only interested in your absolute compliance tend to do so through fear and intimidation. Maybe you all know what I'm talking about, right? Which creates the fearful environments that are around them. They tend to respond to questions, your questions, with anger instead of patience and understanding and wanting to help you understand more. Leaders who provide boundaries and yet space for you to learn and grow tend to create healthier environments that you will want to be a part of. And so if you can avoid it, never stay under an over-controlling leader for too long. Sometimes we can't avoid it. It's just part of what we have to do for a while. But if you can, get away from that. Second, beware environments where people constantly talk about the problem with those people versus a willingness to develop all people. The fear of the other is how division, hate, and anger are taught in fearful environments. It's what's being taught. It's a way of creating this false unity and this false narrative that would pit one group of people against another. It's a means of objectifying someone else, of removing their humanity and looking at them in that way. Instead, look to be a part of environments where people see potential in all people, not just their people. The Apostle Paul said to the people of Philippi, he said, pursue what is noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent. When we pursue these values, then we become something better together, right? Something healthy and life-giving for anyone who wants to be a part of it, who wants to involve themselves, right? And so beware of fearful environments that compulsively name those people as the source of all our problems. That's a bad sign. Last, beware of environments that glorify negative actions and behaviors versus healthy actions and behaviors. This was the reason behind my story with the fraternity, right? It was a group of guys that very much glorified negative actions and behaviors. I mean, that's entirely what it was. I'm sure your fraternity sororities were not like that. Mine was. Alcohol, pot, nicotine, illegal drugs, these are all kind of external negative coping mechanisms that we put into our bodies that kind of offer us quick relief. It helps when we're, you know, in these negative anxious modes. And so, but doesn't necessarily help in a good way for very long. A coping mechanism is something we utilize to help reduce stress or negative emotions in our lives, right? We all have these coping mechanisms. Stress is a thing we don't like, but it helps us study longer and work harder and gives us greater focus for intensity, right? That can sometimes be helpful in those different environments, which is why God gave us this very thing that we curse, and yet it gives us the energy to do so much. A lot of our anxiety is about the fear of the future and all the things that can possibly go wrong with our future. That's what we're oftentimes anxious about. And so healthy coping skills help us kind of reduce our fears about the future without greater risk of going to jail, puking, accidentally killing someone else, which will in turn end you up in jail, ending up in the hospital, or forming some type of an addiction because of the way that you tried to cope with something that didn't help. So examples of healthy coping mechanisms are exercise and supportive relationships and meditation and getting outdoors and having fun and taking breaks and being more flexible about outcomes in our lives, which can be really challenging. And church, praying and living out your faith in a way that constantly reminds you that God doesn't always make things go your way, but He is always with you when the things don't go your way. He is always with you. So I would encourage you, when you step into new environments, pay attention to how the group is kind of handling, managing fear and stress. What are the things that they're doing? Now, There likely isn't any such thing as a perfectly healthy environment. I'm sure somewhere out there are some Tibetan monks up on a hillside making this thing happen. But for the rest of us, this is really challenging. And that is simply because environments are full of people like us. People make mistakes. People experience loss. People get sick. They move and transition. They can get jaded after being hurt kind of over and over again in life. All the things, all the time, constantly changing, even when things don't seem to be changing. Things are changing, right? And so if you decide you're going to hold out in life and you're going to withdraw because you can't find the perfect church or the perfect club, or the perfect organization, or school, or job, or whatever it is, then you're going to be spending a lot of time alone, which is what people are choosing to do this day and age. There are a lot of people this day and age who are just choosing to be alone. Because many of us are so frustrated with the negativity and the anger and the fear and the anxiousness that we choose loneliness instead. But if anything in this life is going to become healthier, it takes commitment. It takes commitment. And also a commitment to make and develop new things that are committed to healthier values and treatment of people. New jobs, new schools, new churches, new organizations, new groups. Pentecost is a Sunday where we remember the beginning of the church was just miraculous and loving, incredibly loving. People gave all they had to the apostles that it might be shared with everyone who was a part of the community. And people met together and they ate together and they learned about Jesus together and His ways and how they could mirror His ways and reflect those ways. And they just loved greatly. But it didn't last forever. The movement eventually faded there in Jerusalem, and yet the church in Philippi was born out of that initial movement that we read from today. And as were so many other churches' environments born out of that initial miracle. You know, even today, Christians keep trying to create new ministries and new churches and groups so that healthy environments might save us from the destructive environments that are so prevalent in our world today, that they might counteract some of those. And so I would encourage our graduates in the years to come to focus on finding healthy environments that might nurture you in growth as I would any of us, that all of us would find those types of places. And I would also encourage you to be people who produce new environments that nurture well-being into other people, that give them those opportunities. Our communities need more of these, not less. We need more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for today and for these seniors, these graduates. Well, they're graduates now. And we give you thanks for them, and we send them out as your children, and we pray that you help them find environments that will help nurture who they are, their love of you, that will help them to have health and vitality as young people. And Lord, I pray this for all of us, that all of us are creating these types of environments that are healthy for us, healthy for others. And we do this by your power, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.